The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Man, I got a quick story for you, Mike. I just gotta tell you this. Mike, sometimes I'm cynical. You know, I think I've talked
not you, John.
No, a little bit. You know, I get people that kind of hit out me. They want to get with me, and I'm always like, ooh, I don't know about that. So I have a little. That's a thing. On the other side, I have a real heart for men's ministry, and I think a big part of it is because I didn't get it for most of my life. Like in one way, I don't think I received it well, and then I didn't even know how to pass it on. And so, you know, I had this guy get in touch with me, and when I first started talking, I'm like, man, what's this guy's angle? You know, what is this guy about? And then I really, really, really have gotten into this guy as far as a guy that is the real deal, and then he really is into really exceptional men's ministry work. And that guy is our guest today, and that's Joe Pellegrino. Joe, thanks for being here today.
John, thank you so much for having me.
And he's got a ministry called Legacy Minded Men, and so he's doing all kinds of great work with that. And Joe, you know, you were talking, and you were asking. I was with a group of people you were leading, and the question you asked is, "What is legacy?" Right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, and like, what does that mean? Like Hall of Fame records? That was something you said. No, that's not what you said. Or leave a big pile of cash? No, that's not what you said. Your answer to what is legacy really blew my mind, and I wrote it down. But I just want to. Can you just talk about what is legacy?
Sure. Well, the world would say that legacy is anything that you leave behind, whether it's finances, property, your who you were. But I believe that legacy is not about what we leave to people, but rather what we leave in people. Mm. That's the difference. I mean, if we just look at the financial world, John, and we understand that when people leave money to somebody else in a generation and a half, it's usually gone. So father passes it down to their kids. Why? Because it wasn't appreciated. It wasn't really earned. However, when you sow legacy in somebody, so a father sows it into their child, their son or daughter, it changes everything. It leaves an indelible mark on them for generations to come. So the father passes it down to the son passes it to his son, and so forth, instead of that money evaporating in a generation and a half. So legacy to me is not as important what you leave to somebody, but far more important what you leave in them.
That is just, Mike, is that one of the coolest things you ever heard?
That's like, really a great, simple way of expressing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was so good. And when you were talking, I was reflecting about, you know, my dad, and like, my dad wasn't perfect and struggles like we all do, but he really put some things in me, like just hardwired in me. Mike's put some things in me. Mike coaches me, and I'm always so, so grateful for that. But man, when I was thinking about that, it really changed my brain about like, I can get overly about being successful financially or doing deals or stuff like that. But really trying to slow down what I'm putting in people. I just thought that was brilliant. Mm. That was so brilliant. So talk to us a little bit about why men's ministry? Like, you know, why not like, I don't know, like professional boxing ministry or something like street fighting ministry or, I don't know, fight club ministry. We couldn't talk about that. But why men's ministry? Why do you focus on that?
Well, I'm a man.
Yeah. One.
And I've struggled in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I've been known as a liar, cheater, a thief. Mm. And one day, May 27th, 1995, God reached down from the murky muck and pulled out the dirtiest thing he could find, shook him out and said, I need you to lead men. And I take that very seriously. And I believe it's the greatest problem in the world today. As a matter of fact, if you go on the street, any street, and you just ask people, what's the greatest problem in the world? They'll say, you know, they'll say sex abuse. They'll say sex trafficking. They'll say corrupt governments. They'll say racism. They'll say all these things. But those are just byproducts of the real problem, which is men who have abdicated their role as leaders, husbands, and fathers. That is the core issue that we are struggling with, not only in this country, but in the world today.
Yeah. So we look at the prisons are filled with men, people that declare bankruptcy, people that commit crimes, people that are homeless, people that commit suicide. Like, hey, we're number one. Men claim all those hills. And that's really what you're trying to help address.
I believe 89% of the governments are run by men. 79% of of the CEOs are men. So we're seeing men running things. Also, the pornography industry is almost all men. Mm-hmm. And if men turned their hearts to God and started living their life and leaving a Christ-centered legacy, everything would change. Just think about it. Everything would change, starting with the man himself, then his family, his business, his workplace, his community, his church. And if we simply understood that we were built to lead, we were built. Listen, we were born males, those of us who are men. We were born males, but it's a decision to be a man, and it's a further decision to be a man of God.
It's funny. Some of my friends tease me because you mentioned this. I like movies, you know, mm-hmm. like referencing movies, and I like, you know, certain TV shows, and I really enjoy watching a lot of them that are about drug dealer, that kind of stuff. And forgive me, it reminds me of my life some ways because of the chaos sometimes the life I'm living with. But I don't get why people do drugs. Like, I don't get the demand part of it. Now, the older I get, like, I do kind of get it. But when we think about, like, whether it's a meth or cocaine or pot, like, these are billion-dollar industries, or sex slave trade. It's billion-dollar industry. Like, clearly the demand is huge. And I think one of your things you're saying is, like, you know, if you've got a guy who has had some level of that addiction or problem, and you're like, hey, stop doing that, well, something's got to fill that in. Like, if you take it out, something's got to fill it in. And that's really a big part of what you're trying to do, is help connect to that void. Is that correct?
Well, let's look at the core of what you just said. Mm. You said that I can't understand why people do drugs. I completely understand why they do them. Because when you're brought up in a society that teaches that there's no God and that you came from the murky muck, you have no purpose. Mm. There's nothing there. But when you understand that you were crafted perfectly in your mother's womb by a God who loves you, and that you were born for purpose, that is something to live for. That is something to wake up and be excited about. I know, John, I wake up every day in anticipation of the new day and the opportunities that God will provide me, and I want to seize that moment. But it's only because I recognize that I am crafted for purpose by a God who crafted me.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I feel better just hearing that, Mike. I feel better now. So tell me this, Joe. Talk about the resources you have. So, like, if somebody's listening to this, and, mm-hmm. you know, some of my listeners are Christian, some are non-Christian, mm-hmm. but and some of them men, some of them women, but has a man in their life mm-hmm. that they're concerned about, and they're hearing you talk, and they're like, gosh, I'm getting these little tidbits. I want to know more. What resources are out there? What do you use?
Oh, there are two things. I would go to legacymindedmen.org, legacymindedmen.org, or I would go to your App Store or Google Play and download the Legacy Minded Men app. There are hundreds and hundreds of hours and tools on there. And you know something, one thing, John, I want to make it very, very clear. I never want to tell anybody what to believe. Mm. I want them to put their belief to the test. Let them believe what they believe because they really believe it mm-hmm. by putting it to the test, and not just because somebody told them to believe it. It's so important that we recognize that our belief system is foundational to everything else we do in life. And if we want to walk on a firm foundation, we best put it to the test.
That's so awesome. And I had a friend of mine recently asked you, they said, what kind of books do you recommend? What authors? And you referenced Tony Evans, mm-hmm. great one.
John Maxwell.
Yeah. Tony Evans, who's also on the Shepherd Radio Network. I just wanted to make yeah. a little plug there.
Absolutely, he is.
He's mm-hmm. part of our team. Mm-hmm. So it's not like somebody downloads the app and it's like more JoJo and more JoJo.
Oh, no. You don't want JoJo.
I mean, there's some of your stuff on there for sure, but you also referenced, you said Maxwell and Eldridge. There's yeah. other people that you look
up
to.
We have many, many different speakers. Some of the top men's speakers in the world are on that app. But so many great resources for you, whether you're struggling with pornography, whether you're struggling with leadership. Just download it, check it out. And we also have accountability built into it. So if you want to, you want to be a man of prayer, not just a man who prays, but a man of prayer, we have a part of our app that will remind you, did you pray today?
Oh, I
and,
love that.
Did you read your Bible today? Did you do a devotion today? I mean, it just provides accountability. And as men, we need accountability.
I am going to download that today. I mean that. I really do. That I just hear that. And that's like, that's just the tug on my heart I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. All right. So tell us about some of these other groups like Tony Evans, whatever. What jumps out? What attracts you to like, man, I like that speaker or I like that guy?
I love when they're real.
Yeah.
I mean, again, transparency is extraordinarily important to me. I want people to know that the man that stands before you, myself, is an imperfect man who has made tremendous mistakes in his life. And it's by God's grace I never ended up in jail. It's by God's grace I'm still married, that my kids talk to me. I am blessed beyond blessed because I recognized on May 27th, 1995, at RFK Stadium at a Promise Keepers convention or conference, that God spoke to me and that I needed to change my life. And you know what? That's one thing I want to make very clear to anybody who's listening today. I don't care where you are right now. I don't care. All I care about is where you're going to be tomorrow. Today is a decision you can make to change your life, alter your course, get on the journey that leads directly to who you really are. Don't you want to know who you really are and why you were crafted? That's why we live. That's why we breathe. Seek it out with all your heart.
Amen. Amen. Tell me, you've got this book. It's five. You've got a lot of books, mm-hmm. but the one I want to talk about, Five Mandates of a Legacy-Minded Man. Did I get it right?
You did.
Right.
You did.
And don't ask me to list all five. They're good. I think I could get three. Mm-hmm. I said that. They're great. I actually, I just bought 20 copies of them. Mm-hmm. I'm about to buy 20 copies because we're going to do that in my men's Bible study. But that book, we're going to go to break in just a second, but just tell us just in 30 seconds, why that book and why do you think it's a good resource for people?
Because I believe that in the verse 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, which says, "Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love," gives us five mandates from God of what a man of God looks like, a Christ-centered, legacy-minded man. That's why I did it.
Gotcha. So those five things weren't like the five things you thought about like while on a jog. These are the five things from directly from Scripture that you're using as that core of that message.
That is correct.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Hey, this is the Crossman Conversation, and we're having a conversation with my buddy Joe, who was just tearing it up and doing so many great things. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Are you unhappy with your current school situation? The Central Florida Urban League is proud to announce the opening of the Whitney M. Young Academy. The WMYA is a Montessori-style school for students, grades K through 12, 100% customized to your child. They'll receive individual lessons that strengthen their academics, social skills, and confidence. Interested in touring our school or learning more about it? Call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/WMYA.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Welcome back to the Crossman Conversation. Here with my buddy Joe Pellegrino. And Joe, you're doing this outstanding work, men's ministry. And a couple things I just want to ask you about, if that's okay. I heard a guy say this one time, and forgive me because I can't remember who said this original quote. But what they said was, aside from the resurrection, the greatest thing Christ did was invest himself into a small group of men.
Mm. Boy, is that true?
Is that true?
That is true. That is powerful because, you know, if you look throughout Scripture, listen, first of all, let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, which gives the order of God. It basically says God, Christ, man, woman. Now, does that mean a man and a woman are not equal? Absolutely not. I believe that they are equal, yet different. Different roles. You know, if you're in a corporation, you can't have two presidents. You can't have two CEOs. You have one. What God basically says is, I raised you up, Adam, and your role is to lead and love your wife. But equally important roles. And when we get to a situation where we need a tiebreaker, God says, I'm asking you, man, to make that tiebreaker unless you abdicate that role. You see, I believe too many men have abdicated that role. So for men, it's so important that we build an inner circle that Christ had. We build an inner circle around us of men who we allow to speak truth into our lives and hold us accountable, and vice versa.
And it's so tough, isn't it? Because we have men who are so broken, or they're addicts, or they're so wounded, and then they're married to a woman who's doing a lot of great things, but you have that gap. And then it goes into the church gap, because a lot of churches that are led by a lot of broken people, I guess mm-hmm. they all are in one sense. And so let me slide over to this question. I get frustrated with churches and some pastors because I feel like what they want is, hey, you know, Mike, come join our church. And of course, you know, Mike is a fabulous musician and as a radio show. There's all these gifts he has. He's so good at. He's done his whole life. And some churches would be like, oh, Mike, come join the church. Yeah, yeah, we need a parking lot attendant. If you could go do the parking lot ministry, really appreciate that. And then Mike's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I kind of play guitar. Yeah, 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 yeah. Tithe 10%. Keep your nose down. We'll get back to you in 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very normal thing that happens. And then what happens is Mike's over in the parking lot wearing his vest, waving people, thinking, man, I really wish I was playing my guitar. Yeah. You know, and that happens all over the place. It happens with me. It happens with me. So why do you think so many pastors struggle so much with allowing Mike to play his guitar and a CEO to, you know, teach a Bible study or, you know, like that kind of thing? What's the problem there?
I think it's all based on relationships. They're not willing to invest.
Really?
You know, they'll justify their time and say, you know, the average pastor will spend 20 to 30 hours on their message every week. So they're focused on that. They don't realize that I wrote a program that is called The Great Untapped Resource, and it speaks to pastors, only pastors, about this one thing. What is the greatest untapped resource in your church? The reality is the answer is very, very clear in most churches, men. Hmm. And if pastors shepherded those men, what would occur is that those men would put him on their shoulders, allow him to preach, teach, and shepherd the flock, while they now clean the toilets, lead this ministry, run the building maintenance, all of that. And the man would now learn about leading himself well, leading his family well, leading in the community well, and leading in the church. And when you raise up a man of God in the church and you invest in him, he becomes a giver, a godly giver. Everybody wins. And the pastor is able to flourish. But it all starts with recognizing, I need to sow into my men. I need to shepherd my men well.
Hmm. You know, it's so interesting you say that. I've been watching a lot of The Chosen lately. I love The Chosen. I'm not a crier. I am I like movies and shows. And like, I cry in every episode. It's just like blows me away. What's funny is that when I watch it, I think to myself of like, you know, being a follower of Christ. I don't look at it as like, I am Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess there's some guys that are like, that's the role they like. Hey, I'm speaking the word, follow me, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like, no, we're all following Christ. We're mm-hmm. trying to encourage other people to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a second.
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is we need to have a core. Mm-hmm. And that core is our foundation, what we believe. When we understand that Christ needs to be at the center of our lives, it changes us. It changes everything. And when you lead with Christ, your life and everything that you do will revolve around that, and it will show. It becomes so incredibly attractive when you see a real man of God leading the way he's supposed to lead with Christ at the center of his life. Mm-hmm. Your wife will respect you and love you, your children. And now, I'm not saying that happens all the time,
right?
Okay?
We get it.
But the bottom line is, it's all about being persistent and persevering and just knowing this is who I'm supposed to be. You know, again, we're born males, but it's a choice to be a man of God. And when you make that choice, it's not for cowards. You're going to have a lot of stuff coming against you because there is an evil one out there. He's an identity thief, and he's looking to steal the identity of men. Isn't that what's happening today? The chaos in the world is, I blame men. I do. Mm-hmm. I do. We need to step up our game. We need to step it up first and foremost individually, and then with our families, and then in our ministries and businesses. If we don't, we are going to see the collapse of society as we know it.
You know, I think that one of the things that must be so hard in how you're coaching when I listen to you is that, you know, I don't think anger is a bad word. I think anger can be a very good word, you know, in the right use. You know, mm-hmm. you and I have talked about that. And if a guy's in church and he's like, man, like, I have a heart for reaching a prison ministry. Let's mm-hmm. just pick on that one. And there's a prison in the community, and the guy's like, man, I want to reach those people. And then some churches will try to shut that down. No, mm-hmm. we don't want to do that, mm-hmm. right? And so then that guy feels that calling, and he pushes forward, and then it really makes people uncomfortable. There's such a balance of not wanting to be a rabble-rouser, not wanting to be a guy that's stirring up dissension, and at the same time calling out truth. And like, talk about how do we balance it of being aggressive, passionate with anger, and then not being jerks, not hurting people, right? Yeah. That's a balance, right?
Yeah, I think the balance is this. You know, do not anger in your sin is what the Word of God says. Do not anger in your sin in your anger. I'm sorry. Do not sin in your anger. So it means that, you know, anger is an emotion. So we could be angry. It's what we do with that anger. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to process it well. Can we take it out on an individual? Can we take it out on our wife and children? No, no, never. You can't do that. You have to recognize you cannot sin in that anger. Simply process it. Deal with what you need to do. And again, it all comes back to who are you? Who are you? And let's face it, John, when your back's against the wall, the real you is going to come out. What you've poured in is going to come out.
Yeah.
So what are you pouring into your life right now? Are you pouring in a lot of, you know, TV and games? Are you, you know, video games that promote, you know, bombings and all that kind of stuff? Well, a lot of times we will act on that. We need to pour into us that which is good, that which is going to help push us forward to be all that we can be. That's the end of the game. I want to be all I can be. I want to leave nothing on the table.
And isn't part of it too, like you would advocate for having some relationships where you could be real. And let me give you an example. Like if I had something happen in my marriage and I was really, really upset with my wife, I think old school me would just like have shoved it deep down. I always talk about Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights when Cal wants to win one of the races. And he says, Cal, take that dream down, just bury it down a pill deep down inside you. And I think I did a lot of that stuff. I think what I do now would be is I would see Mike and just be like, Mike, can I just tell you this? I'm so frustrated. Mm-hmm. And get that out in a very real way, right? And if you're talking to another Christian man like Mike who's mature, Mike can handle that. Like he could handle that. It doesn't freak him out because he's like, okay. But when I get that out of me, then I can go work something through my wife in a calmer way. Mm-hmm. But I grew up like kind of speaking Christianese, mm-hmm. like just going, hey, I'm blessed, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I just didn't address it. And I think sometimes when we see, a pastor, freak out, you know, somebody's like, how did that pastor go from here to like this like crazy explosion? I think sometimes it's like they never had the space to be real.
Absolutely. And I think one of the great challenges for pastors is that they put themselves in an ivory tower sometimes. And when they put themselves in an ivory tower, a man will look at them and they're on that pedestal and they will just lift them higher. But that man needs to step down from that pedestal and be a man first. You know, it's funny when I'll talk to some pastors, well, how come you don't go to the men's ministry on Saturday? That's my day off. Okay, that's your day off from being a pastor. That's not your day off from being a man.
Right.
You need to be able to work with other men. Show yourself. Don't provide this persona of you're a perfect man, because those are the guys that are going to fall. The guys that help make themselves transparent and vulnerable to other guys and hold themselves, be held accountable, those are the men that are going to really succeed. Because you're right. We suppress so much. It's going to come out one way or another.
I went and saw a pastor one time, and as I went to his office, it was like, I kid you not, it was down a dark hallway, turn left, wooden door, inside there, his assistant, and then another door, he was back there. The assistant was stunning. And I remember thinking, this is bad. Like, just this is bad. And I'm like, how is no one else seeing this, mm-hmm. right? You know, a lot of my career, I've worked in offices where the doors are glass, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah, he had an affair with her. Yeah, mm-hmm. ruined everything kind of stuff. But, you know, you see that coming. You've got to have space where people can talk to each other. And mm-hmm. and it's a gift to the pastor for him to say, I'm unhappy. Or he's not a bad guy if he says, man, today I'm miserable in my marriage, right? Well, or I'm miserable in my job. You know, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I don't like it, right?
Think about this. If a pastor is struggling with something and he shares it, it could cost him his job.
That's right.
So they are very protective, and I think that's terrible. It's not fair to the pastors. Mm. They are men, just like you and I, and they have problems and challenges as well. They need to have a place to be able to air that.
We gotta be those guys for them.
Absolutely.
We gotta be those guys.
Absolutely.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. You're what I needed today, and I hope this is what our listeners needed today. And we're going to, when we push this out, we'll do some tags and social media so we can find your, download your app. But just thank you for your life. And your life has purpose. You're putting a legacy in me. So thank you for what you're doing to help people.
Thanks,
really,
John.
Appreciate
I appreciate the time.
So that's it for this show. I do want to say we didn't get into it, but just so you know this, Joe, it really is into race issues just like I am, and social justice and things like that. We could go a whole other show about that. So when I say my sign off here, I know that Joe believes this too. Make sure to support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.